Did you send a link to our guest?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't want to assume anything. I never know with you.
Log on, I send the link. Because I don't want to send a link to one of your guests before you get on. Because then him and I are just going to stare at each other.
You got to talk to a stranger.
Right. We're just going to stare at each other. And he's going to say, well, where's Cooper? And I'm going to say, I don't know. I have no idea. When she gets on, it will be 10 minutes to figure out how to turn her mic up or
turn her mic up and down, and then her chair is too low.
Then she's got to put a dog bed on her chair that she's sitting on so she can be high. It's like a booster seat.
There's always some issue.
Yeah. So
it's never smooth. Yeah.
So if it's one of my people, like one of my guests, I got no problem talking to them until you log on. But if it's somebody you know, I got nothing to say to them. How's my eyes? I mean, this is the only thing I can say to him. You want to do me an exam now? Okay.
He can. They all the doctors do telemed.
Right. So that's probably what we were going to do until you logged on.
Right. You could just use his medical expertise
and not pay him. Right. Yeah. Things I want to know, like eyeglasses, they're expensive.
Not if you get a Lens Crafters. That's where I got these.
Now, they're expensive at his place. Let's say he's an eye doctor. Is he mad when I go to Lens Crafters and I say, give me a prescription so I can go somewhere else because you're too expensive and you have nothing for me to choose from?
Okay, so he's not an eye doctor. He's an eye surgeon.
But
so he'd be mad.
He'd be mad
if you went and had eye surgery from somebody on like Craigslist, like all those people that went and got butt injections from that woman in Chinatown.
But he doesn't have any glasses in his office.
No, he's not an eye doctor. He's a surgeon. He's an ophthalmologist. He's a professor of ophthalmology.
Right.
Okay. He's a surgeon at NYU Winthrop in Long Island, near where we used to live.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a professor.
He doesn't have glasses?
At New York Eye and Ear, Mount Sinai.
Does he have glasses in his office?
He has glasses on his face if you look at him. But no, not in his. He's not an eye doctor. He's an eye surgeon. He's an expert. He's the next level up.
Can he write me a prescription for glasses?
I don't think that's what he does. I mean, they do.
I can try.
Why don't we ask him?
how about a prescription for Zoloft? Can he do that? Yes, we can hear you.
But you just froze up.
Oh, no.
Let me ask you, Dr. Gentile, let me ask you a very simple question. You and I have discussed you building a radio studio, and you have bought some fantastic equipment.
Yeah.
How come you don't use it when you get on with us?
It's called feedback. A lot of feedback.
Oh, so you haven't figured out how to use all your good equipment yet.
Actually, yes. Yeah, so my little earpiece here works better than my $1,000 microphone. haven't figured it out yet.
Actually, no, it doesn't.
And the crazy thing is, guess what? I'm moving now. So I put everything together, never got it to work. And now I'm putting it back in the box.
Oh, great.
What am I going
to
do?
Am I going to have to fly up to New York and put your studio together?
Maybe I'll pick you up and drive you.
And if you don't have glasses in your office when I get there, I'm going to be pissed.
what's happened to ophthalmology is we've gotten very specialized. So, we just do one thing and we do it very well.
Mm-hmm. Like, you only do the right eye. If I have a problem with my left eye, I got to go to another guy.
Yeah.
The guy next door.
There are specialists that only work on one eye. So.
So why are you moving to a new location?
I'm moving closer to decrease my commute. Yeah, my commute is a little bit too long. So I'm decreasing my commute.
So you don't care about your customers, your patients.
Yeah, no, the opposite. He cares about his customers, so he wants his patients, so he wants to be closer to them.
Oh. Yeah.
He's and moving where he lives, so he's closer to his patients.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, you think that, COVID hit, everything would be a disaster. Mm-hmm. Actually, my commute was so easy. It gave me like a little bit of relief because there was no traffic. And now that the COVID is sort of ending, the commute is actually doubling. So it's actually perfect timing. I'm actually looking forward. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to give me more time to do some of my hobbies. And, you know, there is a study that shows that the longer your commute, the less likely you are to exercise and stay healthy. I don't know if you guys.
The longer your commute, the less likely you are to exercise and stay healthy. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any time. That's my excuse. I have no time.
So how long is your commute?
It's like 20 minutes.
Okay, so decrease your commute by 10 minutes, you got 10 minutes to work out.
No, because it'd be Cooper would make me do something for that 20 minutes that I would save. So
no, and let me tell you, Dr. Gentile, when Anthony and I were roommates doing a radio show together, we lived within walking distance of the radio station. He never went to a gym. So it makes it doesn't matter.
Like
he could live in a gym. Live in a gym and he still won't work out.
I went to a gym like four times.
In 2 years.
I got the perfect solution for you, Anthony.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of those desks that you actually have to stand in and walk.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go and actually do your radio show while you're on your treadmill.
Yeah, that will sound really good. So
how's your day?
Must lay down. Okay. No, that's not good at all.
We'd have to have more cardiologists on the show as guests.
Yeah, screw the eye doctors.
We need cardiologists from now on.
Actually, we could have a Holter monitor connected to him and we can watch it. And monitor pulse rate, and actually we can monitor your O2 sat at the same time.
Right.
So were you taking a train into work?
Yeah, I was taking a train. But what's happened now is it's actually, you know, the subway has gotten a little bit dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stopped taking, you know, a lot of people have just stopped taking the train. Now, would I go back on? Yeah, I would consider it. But even the train ride is it's the Long Island Railroad, which is an hour. And then you got the subway, which is another half hour to 45 minutes. So whichever way you cut it, you know, you're talking about a long commute.
Mm-hmm.
Man, listen, I was getting a lot of work on the train, but again, right. It wasn't, you know, you can't hit the level of concentration.
No, and also, I don't know if Anthony knows what's been going on lately on the Long Island Railroad is they've cut the amount of trains, which means trains are now crowded. There's more people.
No.
And people have been posting videos and photos of themselves standing room only on a train from, like, let's say, Belmore to New York City. And it's like, hello, it's COVID. And we're literally on top of each other in a train now. Nice. Like, yeah. You know, it's not like everybody there has been vaccinated yet. So, yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. It gets a little scary.
Yeah, it gets a little scary. Well, Dr. Gentile, one of the reasons we want to invite you here today is because there's a trend on TikTok that I found very interesting. And I thought, you know, you're the perfect person to talk about it because it's an eye thing that's going on. Anthony, is there any way you can pull it up and show Dr. Gentile what we're talking about?
Yep. So this is the new thing.
They look first at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the girl's got like whatever color eye she has. And then she turns to the side and does a side eye. And then the eye's a different color.
Yeah, that's fascinating. First of all, eye color has fascinated people through the ages.
Mm-hmm.
And eye color is a very interesting thing because there are about 8 genes that determine eye color. And the color of the eye is really determined by the pigmentation that's in the iris and the front of the eye. That phenomenon is actually interesting because what you're actually observing is if you look at the front of the eye, you can see some of the detail of the iris. But when you look from the side, you're looking through an optical aberration and you're only looking at one particular part of the eye that gives you that reflex and that color. One of the things I like about that challenge compared to all these other challenges is this is a relatively safe.
Right,
challenge.
It's not dangerous.
No, it's not dangerous. I mean, I actually.
Right, no one's drinking bleach. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No one's drinking bleach. No one's drinking alcohol through their eye sockets.
Right.
No one's inhaling cinnamon and trying to kill themselves. You know, so I like this is a challenge that I think is fascinating. And I think it what I like is I like children or kids to actually look at the natural world. So they're actually looking at the natural world and making observations. So making observations of the natural world, keeping them engaged. I think this is, to me, a healthy and a challenge that I actually think is great to have, as opposed to some of the other challenges.
That's true. So, okay, so the eye is not changing color. It's just an optical illusion, ironically.
Yeah, so the thing is, if you ever look at someone's eye really close, sometimes you'll see there may be different colors in the same eye.
Okay.
Right? So if you look really close and you magnify it, right? So when you go to the ophthalmologist's office and you come to my office and we put you behind this microscope and we magnify the eyeball about 16 times, you'll see that the iris of the eye has multiple colors in it. And some people have more of it than others. And there's a thing called central heterochromia, where the pigment around the pupil is a different color than the pigment in the center of the iris. So when you take that angle and you look from the side, it's going to be highlighting some of the pigment in a different location.
I see.
Now, is it true that lighter shade of eyes like blue, and you know that was light blue, when you walk outside, let's say there's snow on the ground and you go, oh, that's really bright, does it matter if you have blue eyes or brown eyes how bright something is?
Yeah, so remember, brown eyes, the darker the eye, the more it absorbs light, the less likely it is to scatter it. So people with brown eyes tend to have less glare than people with blue eyes.
But it's not
invariable. Right. So, but there are eye conditions. There are eye conditions out there that can cause problems with glare. So I'm not going to say, oh, you have a glare issue or you're noticing this. An ophthalmologist really has to examine it and make sure there's nothing else that's causing that.
Got it.
Is it true that people with brown eyes are more full of poop?
I don't know. My wife thinks so, but I'm not sure.
My eyes are hazel. Okay, so don't even try it.
Yeah, she has green eyes. I have brown eyes. And she sees that a lot.
So
that's right. My eyes are more green than brown.
So you're more full of poop than Cooper is.
If the poop meter, so it starts on the bottom there, right? So Dr. Gentile has the is mostly full of poop, then me, and then Anthony Belize. So gauge this conversation based on that. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to ask you, you know, every once in a while I check in with Dr. Gentile just because he's so fun to talk to. And this week I learned that you have very interesting experiences that you know, it's funny, like when you think about anybody who deals with the general public, I mean, you have patients, but they are the general public. So you're going to run into people that are a little off, I guess is the best way to put it, or just different. And you've had quite a few lately. I'd love to hear a couple of those stories.
Well, you know, in the service business, it's always challenging, and especially in practicing medicine, because people come in and they sort of react in different ways. And every person is different. What I find fascinating is you can take two separate people with the same diagnosis, but their response and how they react to how you speak to them is totally different, because their feelings about it are different than one patient has a different feeling about a diagnosis than another patient. And it's so-called my office staff, you know, sometimes sees patients and they may use the term crazy. I never like to use that term.
Do they put it in the notes? Like when they hand you a folder, is it like, watch out, here comes crazy? and is that in my folder?
Well, yes. That's the cover.
They don't do that. They may use those terms, but I try to, what I do is I try to explain to them as a physician, and it's very important, is that, you know, if someone's not acting normal, you have to figure out why. And sometimes it's just, you know, the fear that a patient has that they may be going blind, or they may be angry about something, or they may have had a bad day. I mean, the thing is, I give you an example, you're driving in traffic and all of a sudden, you know, the guy behind you has road rage And he goes in. Is that how he normally acts? I mean, is this his normal? Is that how he does? He act that way every day, every minute of the day? Probably not.
Anthony, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, Anthony does that.
Okay. Yeah,
Anthony, so, pretty much.
So I'm sort of aware of, you know, some of these outbursts. And the thing is, what you try to do is, and it's
you're being very kind. Once in a while, people come in and they're just schizophrenic.
Well, okay. So that's a different topic. Okay?
Oh my God, you've had that many. Okay.
Physicians have to be kind. I mean, if you're not a kind physician, then you
you're in the wrong business.
Then you're in the wrong business, because otherwise, you know, you really have to be able to put yourself in the shoes of the patient and really empathize with them. And I find that very important. Now, we've been trained, because there are cases when you talk about real mental illness, and this is sad, because there is mental illness out there, and it's, you know, over 1% of the population does have issues with mental illness. So that's a little bit different dealing with that. So is that possible? Have I ever encountered that? Yes, I've encountered that in the office. And usually ophthalmologists, you know, even though we're trained to deal with cases like that, it is probably one of the most stressful things you can encounter.
Like, give us an example. When did that happen?
You know, listen, sometimes you'll have patients that suffer from mental illness that may have a little bit of schizophrenia, and you'll have delusions of things that really don't make sense. So, for example, you know, you're working in the ER, and the patient's complaining, and they're saying, "I have garbage and worms coming out of my eyes." Mm. You're like, "Wait a second, okay, let me," and I say, "Okay, let me take a look." No, this is real. There's worms and garbage coming out, and they're somewhat delusional, and they really believe it.
So they're asking for an eye surgeon, but really they need a head doctor.
Yes. Yes. And the thing is, you go and ask other questions and you try to figure this out.
So you check the eyes and the eyes are fine and there's no worms and garbage coming out of them. So yes, then, I mean, do you have somebody that you call, and do you have somebody on call that you can be like,
yeah, unfortunately,
come get this person?
You know, unfortunately, in a small ophthalmology practice that's not hospital based, we don't have that ability. But we do have social services we can contact, and we do have, you know, we can contact their medical doctor if we suspect something. So there are things that we can reach out to. In a hospital setting, yes, of course, you can call the psychiatrist in that can deal with it. And I'll just tell you a little bit about schizophrenia, because it's interesting. When I was growing up and I was in high school, I had a very good friend, and he was an absolute genius. I mean, he was an athlete. He was a scholar. He would cite Shakespeare word for word. I mean, no one else could do this.
Anthony does it all the time. It's annoying.
Yeah, I nonstop do it.
He's like, to be or not to be. I'm like, oh, this again.
And what's interesting is he actually started at that time listening to rock music. He was into Black Sabbath. He started playing the guitar. He started playing around with some, you know, smoking pot and, you know, doing some drugs. And, you know, it was getting a little bit worrisome. It was getting a little bit worried. And it was
because it was more than just normal. Because that sounds like everybody who grew up on Long Island.
Yeah, well, it started off normal, right? It started off, you know, drinking beers in the park on a, you know, on a Friday night with your boombox, right? You remember that, Anthony? Boombox? It was that was, did you have something a little bit different?
Yeah, had one, still want one, would buy one now. Yeah.
And he ended up dropping out of school, and we thought it was related to drugs. We thought it was related to, you know, outside influences. And it's interesting, because when I went to medical school, I took a class in psychiatry, and a light bulb just went over my head and said to myself, wait a second, my good friend had a mental illness and he was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And it's sad, because tell you the truth, a lot of things we take for granted, right? We take for granted our vision.
Right.
And, you know, and we always try to, I'm trying to save people from losing their vision. And guess what? Mental illness, we take for granted.
But you were a kid. Health. You couldn't have known. I mean, you can't diagnose.
I didn't know.
I've told Anthony this story before, but I had this friend when I was growing up. I think everyone's had that friend when they were growing up that they just thought was just, you know, your crazy friend or did like wacky stuff. Mm-hmm. You didn't even really think about it.
I got one of those.
And now you look back and you're like, wow, that's some serious schizophrenia.